Thank you, Rodriguez, Leach, and Ellis Wind Ensemble. They're very good. Appreciate that. We're continuing on with our series on the 28 fundamental beliefs of the Seventh-day Adventist denomination. Today we're looking at fundamental belief number 18, entitled The Gift of Prophecy. I'm going to attempt, well, let me back up. When I was at Andrews University working on my master's degree back in the mid-70s, I had a whole quarter's course on this topic. And I'm going to try to reduce a quarter's topic into about 15 minutes, so we'll see what we can do here. But it was a very fascinating class. Mervyn Maxwell was the teacher. He has since passed away, but he was full of stories of SDA church history, and I guess I'm getting SDA church history and Ellen White. It was Tom Blinko that taught Ellen White. Anyway, it was interesting. Some of the stories, of course, a lot of overlapping there. Fascinating stories about our denomination's origins, which is definitely tied in with this belief. First of all, I would like to start by defining the word prophecy, because this topic is the gift of prophecy. What is prophecy? Well, one of the definitions of prophecy is the speaking of messages from God through chosen, and that would be chosen by God, through chosen human messengers, who would be referred to as prophets. The prophets prophesy. The topic is prophecy. The prophets prophesy. Okay, nouns and verbs in there. Okay, chosen human messengers, the prophets, which may or may not include the prediction of future events. We often think of prophecy as primarily about the future, but the word prophet primarily has to do with someone who is a spokesperson for God. It may be about the present, it may be about the future, or it may be either or, both and. It's simply a spokesperson for God. Someone speaking messages from God to his people. Now, it's interesting, this whole topic of prophecy, it's sort of unique to Seventh-day Adventists, but not exactly within Christianity. The Roman Catholic Church has someone who they claim speaks for God, the Pope. So that's a form of prophecy. There is a non-Christian denomination, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons. They were started by someone who they claimed was a prophet, who was Joseph Smith, okay? And they teach that every successive president of their denomination also has the gift of prophecy. They're not technically Christians in the true sense of the term. Pentecostals have within their ranks people who have the gift of prophecy. Someone would have a message from the Lord to a specific individual. That's kind of a prophecy that they believe they have. However, as far as the mainstream Christian denominations, with a specific person being a spokesperson for God, it's kind of unique among Seventh-day Adventists. The bulletin cover has the belief as it's stated in the Seventh-day Adventist fundamental beliefs. The front of the bulletin, let me read it through. The gift of prophecy. One of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is prophecy. This gift is an identifying mark of the remnant church. And Scott Ward preached on the remnant some time ago, God's last day special movement. Seventh-day Adventists teach that this gift of prophecy is a special mark of God's last day church, his remnant church, and was manifested in the ministry of Ellen G. White. As the Lord's messenger, her writings are a continuing and authoritative source of truth, which provide for the church comfort, guidance, instruction, and correction. Meaning her writings, also make clear that the Bible is the standard by which all teaching and experience must be tested. Ellen White is very clear that her writings are to be tested by the Bible. In the Bible, there are some statements, several different prophecies, statements in the Bible regarding the gift of prophecy in the last days. Just to show you that this idea is not foreign to the Bible. Even though most Christians, if you would ask them, do you have the gift of prophecy in your group? They would most likely say no. It's not foreign to the Bible. Take your Bibles, and I don't have these printed out, to Joel chapter 2. If you'd like to follow along, it's found on page 902 in the Pew Bibles that are in front of you. Page 902, Joel chapter 2. And I'm going to read verses 28 to 32. And afterward, God speaking through Joel says, I will pour out my spirit on, what does the next word say? All people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And the first part of verse 32 says, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Very clear prediction that God's Spirit was yet to be poured out on all his people. In fact, if you look at Peter's sermon in Acts, he says on the day of Pentecost that that was a fulfillment of this prophecy. In fact, Seventh-day Adventists teach, yes, that was a fulfillment. It was a partial fulfillment. There's still more to come. So we may see much more of the gift of prophecy before Jesus comes yet. Let's look at another verse here in Ephesians chapter 4. That's found on page 1158 in the Bibles that are provided in front of you. 1158, Ephesians chapter 4. And I'm going to start with verse 7 instead of verse 8. Ephesians chapter 4, starting with verse 7. Now, the other one was in the Old Testament, the book of Joel. Now we're moving to the New Testament times, to the writings of Paul. And Paul says, but to each one of us grace has been given. As Christ apportioned it, this is why it says, when he, now who's the he here who's ascending? Jesus. After his crucifixion, his resurrection, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens. In order to fill the whole universe. Now, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until. That's a key word there. Until means that something that's going on is to happen, and it's to keep on happening until a certain event happens. If I say the air conditioning in this building will be on until we leave, that means it will keep going until we go. And then when we go, it will be turned off. That's what that until means. So he's talking about these gifts, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Let me ask right now. Are all of God's people united in their faith, united in their knowledge of the Son of God, and mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ? Are all Christians that way right now? All of them? No. So that means prophecy is needed and still needed. So are apostles, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, because that until hasn't been fulfilled yet. Then, verse 14 says, we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. These gifts, including prophecy and prophets, to lead us to grow together into Christ, to become united, to become mature, to become Christ-like, and to unite us in reaching out. So, according to this belief, Seventh-day Adventists teach that Ellen White was a fulfillment of the gift of prophecy. She had this special gift. Well, who was this Ellen White? Why do Seventh-day Adventists teach that her writings are of special value and significance? I'm going to give you a website. If you have the web, the internet, if you look up this website, you will find lots of information. Lots of information. In fact, you'll find everything that is available in print that she has written. You can access it from this website. All her books, everything is there. You can do searches, you can do all sorts of stuff. There's pictures in there, there's stories in there, there's just lots of information. www.whiteestate.org. And I'm going to share one page from that website and just give you a little brief overview of Ellen White. In brief, she was a woman of remarkable spiritual gifts who lived most of her life during the 19th century. Born in 1827, died 1915. Where did she die? Not very far from here. In fact, you can visit her home where she died, over just outside of St. Helena, Elmshaven, little Deer Park, California, just out of St. Helena. Her home is still there. It's a historic landmark, and there are tours that are given there. So she lived most of her life during the 19th century, yet through her writings, she is still making a revolutionary impact on millions of people around the world. During her lifetime, now this is while she was living, she wrote more than 5,000 periodical articles. That's articles for magazines, for newspapers, magazines, over 5,000. And 40 books, but today, including compilations, editors have been working on her writings and putting them together in different unique ways, including compilations from her 50,000 pages of manuscript. More than 100 titles, this is books, are available in English. She is the most translated woman writer in the entire history of literature. That's worldwide, ever. And the most translated American author of either gender. Interesting, isn't it? Who would be the most translated? Be Bible authors. Bible authors, right? But the most translated outside of the Bible. Her writings cover a broad range of subjects, including religion, education. We would not have Lodi Academy and Lodi Elementary, folks, without Ellen White, or PUC, or on and on. Social relationships, evangelism, prophecy. She wrote on prophecy. She was a prophet, and she did write prophecy here talking about the future. Publishing, nutrition, management, so on and so forth. Her life-changing masterpiece on successful Christian living, Steps to Christ, has been published in more than 140 languages. And if you do not have that book, stop by the door afterwards. It's available in lots of different titles. Happiness Digest, we have here several paperback versions of, it's entitled The Path to Peace, Finding Hope in a Troubled World. If you don't have Steps to Christ, please see me at the door. We'll be sure you get one. So that's been published in more than 140 languages. Seventh-day Adventists believe that Mrs. White was more than a gifted writer. They believe she was appointed by God as a special messenger to draw the world's attention to the Holy Scriptures and help prepare people for Christ's second advent. From the time she was 17 years old until she died 70 years later, God gave her approximately 2,000 visions and dreams. The visions varied in length from less than a minute to nearly 4 hours. The knowledge and counsel received through these revelations, she wrote out to be shared with others. Thus, her special writings are accepted by Seventh-day Adventists as inspired. God was the source of them. And their exceptional quality is recognized even by casual readers. Often you'll hear someone like Paul Harvey or others make comments and refer to some of her writings. As stated in the book, Seventh-day Adventists Believe, it says, the writings of Ellen White are not a substitute for Scripture. They cannot be placed on the same level. The Holy Scriptures stand alone, the unique standard by which her and all other writings must be judged and to which they must be subject. Yet, as Ellen White herself noted, this is the one quote I'm going to share from her writings today from the book Great Controversy, in the introduction, page Roman numeral 7, she said, "The fact that God has revealed his will to men through his word has not rendered needless the continued presence and guiding of the Holy Spirit. On the contrary, the Spirit was promised by our Savior to open the word to his servants, to illuminate and apply its teachings." That's what she says. You know, the Bible gives some very good counsel about prophecy and not automatically believing everyone who claims to have a message from God. I'm going to reread the scripture reading that Irma read for us this morning from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. If you want to follow, find it. It's page 1171. 1171. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting with verse 19. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. In other words, the Spirit wants to keep on working. Don't put it out. And how do we not do that? Do not treat prophecies with contempt. And it goes on. Test everything. Test it. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. You know, if someone came to us, someone came to me, someone came to you who was not a Christian, who did not believe in the Bible, and was interested in the Bible, wanted to find out more about the Bible, we would say, read the Bible. Test it out. Check it out. Don't just believe it. Check it out. See if the prophecies are true. See if the counsel is valid. We say the same thing for Ellen White. Check it out. Read it. See if it agrees with the inspiration that we believe God has already given us. God definitely raised this denomination through this woman. She had a huge part in us being here this morning. So, check it out. As I mentioned before, if you do not have a copy of the book Steps to Christ, The Path to Peace, or Happiness Digest, I have several here with me today. Please see me at the door and grow in grace. Those are some thoughts this morning on the Seventh-day Adventist fundamental belief on the gift of prophecy. I will pray. Precious Father, I thank you that you have not left us as orphans. You come to us and you work with us in so many ways. As we study the writings of prophets, I pray that you will help us to apply them to our own lives in ways that will help us to grow and mature and be ready for your coming and help others to be ready as well. It is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord.
your Spirit speaks to me. With my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord.